Community Matters. Solutions to local issues and leaders who are making a positive difference.
Hey, it's Megan from The Morning Show on Your Encouraging WPER. Welcome to another edition of Community Matters. This week, we are speaking with Ann Miller. She is the President and Executive Director of Home Educators Association of Virginia, HEAV. And we've spoken with her before, just before the start of the school year, for parents and families who were interested in getting started with the homeschooling process. So now we kind of wanted to do a little bit of a check-in to kind of help those families who are adjusting to homeschool life. So, Ann, thank you again for taking the time to talk with us. Could you just start by giving us a little bit of a background about HEAV, maybe even when it got started, how it got started?
Well, HEAV has been around since 1983, and it started on a little card table in the General Assembly session. They were debating whether to legalize homeschooling in Virginia. And three women got together and they set up this card table and started a newsletter. They decided to call it Home Educators Association of Virginia. And that's where they got their start to connect homeschool parents or parents who were interested in homeschooling or who were homeschooling at that time, even though there was no law, to connect so that they could lobby for homeschool freedom here in Virginia.
Perfect. And then what does HEAV do? I didn't even realize it had been around that long or that there was even an issue of it possibly not being legalized in the state of Virginia. So what does HEAV do?
Well, HEAV, we are a statewide homeschool association. And what we do is we help connect parents to local support groups. We provide accurate information on the law and on homeschooling in Virginia. We also make sure that our homeschool freedoms are intact. We are always in the legislature when it's in session to safeguard homeschool freedoms. And often, sometimes bills are introduced inadvertently that would affect homeschooling. So we're just always on the lookout, protecting our right to be able to teach and train our children at home. And we have a great website that is just packed with information, and the average read time is between 30 and 40 minutes on our website. There's just a lot of content there.
So could we unpack that just a little bit for someone who's visiting your website?
Sure.
What kind of stuff would they find?
Well, we have everything from everything you need to know about how to begin. There's actually a free downloadable packet about how to begin homeschooling. We have, we do events. We just finished a virtual event, a three-day virtual event. We have all about the Virginia law. We have a section on the website that connects people to their local support groups. And just in Fredericksburg alone, I think there are five different groups that are listed there. And so it's a good place to start. There are probably a lot more groups in the area that aren't listed, but it's a place to start. And once you connect with one group, you can say, are there any other groups that you know of? And often the support group leaders do know of other groups. But we have resources. We have a blog that is just packed with articles about homeschooling, how to teach math, free educational resources, all about field trips, teaching struggling learners. There are unit studies there like Ocean Smarts about dolphins and sharks and all kinds of unit studies, actually. What's happening in the state about the different methods of education like classical or eclectic or unit study approach. So many. Our blog has, we put new content up every week. We have new content, and we've been doing that for years and years. So there's a lot of good stuff there.
It really does sound like a treasure trove of information for a parent who's seeking really anything. They probably can find something that they need there.
Yes, and we cover from preschool, kindergarten, high school, graduation. There are things about sports. There are also some articles about beginning mid-year. We're seeing right now that a lot of parents who tried to do the virtual schooling at home have found that it is just not working for their family. And we are inundated with calls every day of parents who are deciding that they want to homeschool now. And that's okay. And there's information about beginning mid-year. I mean, it's the beginning of the year, but it's still after the deadline for notification. So lots of help there. And we also have an office in Richmond that's open Monday through Friday from 10 to 4. And you'll get to talk to a live person who can answer your specific questions and just help you in whatever way that you need. We have trained counselors who can answer just about every question on homeschooling. And if they can't, they know where to go to get the answers.
That's perfect. And actually, you brought up a great question, because this came up a couple times when we talked during our webinar the last time. But for parents who want to make the switch to homeschooling mid-year, that is still possible. But also for parents who decide that they're trying the homeschooling thing and it's not going to work for them, the switch back to school is also, like, none of this is set in stone. Once you're in for the year, you're stuck for the year. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. I mean, as far as deciding to homeschool, you can decide anytime during the year. And if you, as a parent, if you see homeschooling's not working, you can put your child back in school. Now, the little tricky part there is that it's up to the school to determine what they'll require to re-enroll your child. Sometimes they want testing, sometimes they want to see their work, but the way Virginia is set up, every school can set their own guidelines. So if you decide that it's just not working for you, I hope you'll give us a call first and maybe we can help you. But if that doesn't work, because there are bumpy roads, homeschooling is not easy. And we totally get it. I have 8 now grown children, and we homeschooled all the way from preschool through high school. So I know there are bumps along the road. For us, it was so worth it. And so we have help. But if you do decide, just go to the school and ask them what would it take to re-enroll. And they'll tell you what they require. So it's not difficult. And even if you have problems in the re-enrollment process, you can call us and we can't change what they do, but we can give you ideas and recommendations on how you can fulfill any requirements that they have.
And you do mention how, you know, if parents are maybe not feeling like homeschooling is the option, to call you first before they make an adjustment, because there are some there are some things that you can do to help the parents. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about that then, because that connection point is huge for parents who are still new to the homeschooling process. So could you talk a little bit about how HEAV connects parents with other homeschool parents, but also even just the resources within HEAV? We can talk about the connecting in the community first. I think that's huge for parents to know that they're not alone.
It is huge to know that you're not alone. And homeschooling is challenging. And being around like-minded families just makes the journey so much easier. And there are opportunities for your kids to get together, for you as moms to get together, and just go out for a cup of coffee and leave the kids with dad, or go to park days, things like that. We, as a homeschool mom myself of many, many years, more than 30 years, I can't believe that, but true. I so depended on my friends and connections to encourage me, to give me new ideas, to help reframe my perspective. And so we think the community is so important, and we just encourage parents to get connected. And it doesn't have to be in a big support group. It can just be one or two other moms that you connect with. If you're new to homeschooling and you had a community of moms from your school, connect with them. If they're homeschooling, that start your own support group. You don't need to go into a formal support group. Start your own group. You can do help with share teaching or resources, just in that encouragement. HEAV does have a Facebook group called Homeschooling in Virginia. And we have, I think we're coming up on almost 16,000 members.
Wow.
And I know it's crazy. We have grown by almost 6,000 members since COVID hit. And it is a great connecting place. It's a great place to get accurate information, but also the community, the new families, they cannot believe the community that's there. And in that group, you can find other people who are near you. You can say, like, I'm in the Fredericksburg area and I am looking for, you know, a park day or this or that, and then connect. Or what other resources are available in Fredericksburg? And the information that comes forth with a group that's almost 16,000. Now, I haven't looked probably in the last 2 weeks at the engagement level, but when we were like over 15,000, the engagement level in the last month was over 14,000 people. So it's a highly engaged group. Most of the people in the group, probably like almost 90%, are liking, commenting, sharing resources. So it's a great place to get started and to branch out to other groups. And you can Google too, other groups in, not Google, but Facebook, search for groups in your area as well. That connection, though, I cannot encourage strongly enough to get connected to other families. It will make the journey so much easier and so much more fun.
And it really does seem like this is a community that is eager and willing to help each other, right? Like, I mean, when you get newbies coming in who are like trying this for the first time in the middle of a pandemic, and then you get the families who've been doing this for a while, like they want to offer the help and the knowledge that they've gained in doing this for their own families.
It's so true, because we've been there. We've had that deer in the headlights look ourselves. we know the struggle is real. You know, trying to figure out curriculum and learning styles and parenting and, you know, just and home management when your children are home all day. There are so many things that come into play when you decide to teach and train your children at home. And but there's so much help. And I know on my own journey, it's a growth thing, and you can't fix everything at once. You just kind of, I would focus on one area at a time, take a few tips I learned here and there, and put them into practice in our family. And it really is a journey, and it's also growing. You know, as a mom and as a woman, I grew tremendously through teaching my children at home. And so we're all there. And we just want to help wherever we can. And every family is different. Every family is unique. Every child in that family is unique. So there are no two homeschools that look exactly alike. And that's the beauty of homeschooling, because I can do what's right for that child. And we all know who that child is. I can do what's right for that child. And also what's right for me and what's right for our family. And it may not be right for my friend's family, but it works for me. I can do exactly what that child needs. And each child in my family can get that individualized instruction. I had some children who liked to work in the evening. They were much more alert and it took them less time. And I had other children who were early birds and they wanted to get up in the dark hundred and get their schoolwork done so they'd have the rest of the day to pursue their interests. And we have that flexibility. A lot of moms work. There's nothing that says you have to do your homeschooling during school hours. And so we have supreme flexibility, parents homeschooling on the weekends and evenings and the early morning, you know, whatever works for your family, you can do. And that's partly what makes it work, because we have that flexibility to improvise and to come up with a plan that works for our children and our family.
I think that that's a really good point to kind of settle on just for a minute here, because I think that for many parents, going from a traditional school day in a school setting to homeschooling, they probably fall into this trap of thinking every single day has to be structured in a very specific way. And that's probably, like, I would imagine it takes a lot of energy in the beginning trying to find that. So I love how you talk about the flexibility of homeschooling. So could you just focus a little bit about maybe even your experience and how you've seen different families structure their days, or lack of structure completely?
Right. Well, I will admit to not being a structured kind of person. And so now I did work really hard to build systems into my home so that our home was orderly. But it didn't come naturally. And actually, my 39-year-old daughter, she just told me this weekend when she was here and she was seeing, like, now we're empty nesters. And she's like, oh, Mom, I just thought you were the most organized, systematic person ever. And I didn't know that I could ever measure up. But now that I see, you know, that you're, I see, like, your flaws, like, how you struggle to keep things organized, you know, and it's just you and Dad. She said, I had no idea. So I did work at it because things function better when there's some semblance of order. Mm-hmm. And I had 8 kids, so it was kind of do or die. Yes. And I did not want to die. And I didn't want to see any of them die either. But so we were very eclectic in our approach. We had a basis of the idea of classical education, that there are 3 stages of learning. The grammar, the dialectic, and the rhetoric stages. And the grammar is when children are young, they love to memorize. And the dialectic, they love, it's when they enter the argument and debate stage, and they're going to argue anyway. So that's the time to teach them logic and debate. And then the rhetoric is in the teen years, they want to have self-expression. But you've given them in the grammar stage, they memorize all kinds of facts and information. And then they learn how to argue and debate and think logically, hopefully. And then there's self-expression in the teen years, in the rhetoric stage, writing and speaking. And so that was, we really loved that model, seemed right to us, but we did it in a very eclectic, often unschooling manner. And we also did interest-based learning. So our kids had lots of opportunities to do projects and pursue their interests, whatever they may be, whether it was building things, engineering things, painting, art, starting businesses. And that's another beauty of homeschooling. They had time to do those things. Now, I had friends. We did a few things structured, but I had friends who would buy a whole curriculum package. And their family, they would systematically go through a whole curriculum package every year. And you know what? But that worked for them. And their family was happy and productive, and that worked for them. And that was great, because some people are more structured. They do need a stronger routine in their day and a schedule. And you can do that. I was not that person. Now, I did write out a schedule, like what an ideal day would look like. Mm-hmm. I wrote it down, and I encourage moms to do that. You may never have a day like that.
And that's okay.
And that's okay. But my goal was, you know, we'd have, they'd make their beds, they'd get dressed, we'd have breakfast, we'd do some schoolwork, we'd have, you know, break. And I wrote out schedules for the different seasons of our life in homeschooling. And, you know, maybe we had a day that looked like the schedule, but we had a routine. We had a flow and an order to our day. The timing of that might change, but it was very helpful to me just to have it written out. And that was a tip I got from another mom. And it really did help me a lot to think about a routine and a flow so that my kids had some expectation of what to expect next.
Perfect.
And that's important. If your children have come from a structured school and you're used to that routine, setting expectations of what your days will look like, of what the plan is going forward, that can be so helpful, especially if you are like me and you're not a real structured mom, but you have kids who need or crave that structure. Setting those expectations for them can be so helpful. And as with older children, and as they take more responsibility for their education, and that's what we want as parents. And I would tell my kids, this is your education, not my education. I've already gone to school. This is for you. And I want you to own it. And so helping them take responsibility, let them help you choose the materials that they use. That buy-in is like solid gold. I did that with my kids often, like, okay, we're going to do Latin this year. I'm looking at a couple of different programs. HAV does a state and annual convention with about 12,000 people every year. And I would send my kids into the exhibit hall, which has hundreds of resources, thousands of resources. And I would tell them, go look, you know, or go find, you know, you need literature this year. Go find something that you want to do and send them off. And, of course, it has to be acceptable to me, too. But I don't think I ever turned down anything they wanted to do. And that buy-in, when it comes time to actually do the work, well, this is the course you chose.
Yeah.
Get with it, buddy. that buy-in, you know, and helping them own their own education has lifelong consequences of them taking responsibility for themselves.
Awesome.
Which is a good thing, and it's what all parents hope for their children.
Absolutely. Now, you've made a statement before that I really want to kind of get into as well, where you said when you're homeschooling, the world becomes your classroom. Can you just talk about that a little bit? What can parents look outside of text, outside of homeschool workbooks and stuff? What are some other things that they can tap into?
Oh, my word. Field trips. And, you know, a trip to the grocery store could be a field trip. I mean, even just taking your children through the vegetable section. There are so many things that you can do at grocery stores. Now, with COVID, a lot of things are shut down, but we've done field trips where we actually watch them butcher the meat, set up the vegetables. There are so many things, anything that you can think of practically in your community, in the state, in the nation, in the world. I mean, people buy RVs and homeschool on the road and just travel and visit historic sites and parks across the nation. Your neighbors, people in your community, people from your church, your resources are unlimited. If you have a son who's interested in building and there's a guy in your church who is a builder, you know, my husband's a builder, so I'm using that as an example. We have had many parents send their young men to work with my husband to learn construction skills. We have friends who have sent their child who was interested in architecture to go be mentored by an architect and just go, even if it's emptying the waste baskets in the office, they can get a sense of that, you know, what happens in an architect's office. The parks, the historic sites, and Virginia. I mean, everybody wants to come to Virginia for field trips, and Washington, D.C. We have a wealth of information. So if you're going to study, say you want to study about marine life, you know, go to the Virginia Beach Marine Science Museum and do that as a unit study. You don't need to have a workbook. You can go. We used to go to the gift shops, honestly, and buy the books that were in the gift shops that were often incredibly educational and use that as part of our field trip. The Marine Science Museum is one we went to frequently when my children were younger. And then we'd go out to the beach and we'd find shells and we'd find skate cases and, I mean, seaweed, and we'd look it all up. Guidebooks. We had bird books, plant books, insect books. Go out in nature. There's so much to be learned just by being in nature and having your child observe, take nature walks, go by the water. The world is your classroom. The more hands-on learning is retained in the studies that they show, what you do experientially is retained better than reading or just listening. It's not that you can't have a curriculum, but I just encourage parents to get out. And even in your backyard, there's so much richness. I've been reading this book by Sally Clarkson that I highly recommend called Awaking Wonder. It's a new release. It just came out at the beginning of September or the end of August, Awaking Wonder. And she's talking about how her family built an educational environment and went beyond textbooks, beyond curriculum, to help their children see the wonder of the world around them. Oh, it is a wonderful book. And I highly recommend, if you're looking to do more than just textbooks, to take a look at her book, Awaken Wonder. Because she's just painting a picture of the things that you can do with your children and the things that you should be thinking about. And the fact that they could be learning all the cartoon characters or all the movie characters, or they could be learning great literature. They could be learning the names of, you know, the plants and the trees in your backyard.
Yeah.
And so as a parent and a homeschool parent, we have so much ability to expose them to the riches of the world. And who do we want them to be when they're adults? You know, thinking about the future, there's so much opportunity. And I know with our kids, we really delved into classic literature at very, very young ages. We would get recordings of abridged stories like Black Beauty or Captain Courageous, Little Women, Little House on the Prairie. We would get those recordings, and the kids could listen to them over and over and over without mom doing anything. It's the Lazy Mom's Guide to Home Education. But they got the language, the vocabulary, the richness of the authors, Dickens, oh my word, from very young ages, to surround them with the beauties of the world, great art masterpieces. We would go to museums all the time. We had art books, and I even made flashcards of great art masterpieces when they were in the grammar stage, like showing them, familiarizing them with great art. And then when we would actually go to the museums and they'd see the pieces, people would be shocked, like there's a six-year-old jumping up and down because they recognized a Rembrandt or they recognized a Van Gogh. There's so much we can do beyond Pokemon and some of the things that our children are natural to our children. And Awaking Wonder by Sally Clarkson. I highly recommend it. I haven't finished it, but it so resonates with what we did with our own children and what's possible as a parent to do with your children.
So really, the options are absolutely limitless when it comes to homeschooling your families. And thank you so much for taking the time. We are running short on time now, so I will close us out. But I did just want to ask you real quick, for families who want to contact HEAV, there is a phone number that they can call. Is that correct? Could you give that to us?
804-278-9200. And it's Monday through Friday from 10 to 4. They get a real person.
See, perfect. A real person, even better. Thank you again. And also the website that Ann was referencing throughout the interview, you can check that out. It's heav.org. Again, that's heav.org. Thanks again for tuning into Community Matters. Have a great day.